Hi. So, what I'm going to do first is play a song. This is a song that Barbra Streisand sang in Funny Girl, which is one of my favorite movies. It's called People. But I decided not to play Barbra because I think most of us have heard her sing it a million times. So I selected a cover. This lady does a pretty good job. And let me, since there's just a few of us here, let me take a moment to do what I. Yeah, let me take a moment to move that. Sometimes I have trouble moving it, sometimes I don't. There we go. So it looks like her name is Tanisha Renee. And she does a pretty good job. So let's listen to Tanisha sing People. Pretty good, huh? Pretty nice job. All right. Yeah, I got chills listening to her several times throughout the song. I thought she did a fantastic job. So we are here for enlightened leadership, which means we're looking at the Tao Te Ching. And today we're going to look at, or at least start with, we'll see if we move on or not, because it's a fairly small chapter, but you never know. Sometimes I can talk forever about one sentence. So we'll see what happens. But we're looking at chapter 33. And we'll start with Derek Lynn. Those who understand others are intelligent. Those who understand themselves are enlightened. Those who overcome others have strength. Those who overcome themselves are powerful. Those who know contentment are wealthy. Those who proceed vigorously have willpower. Those who do not lose their base endure. Those who die but do not perish have longevity. I like that. So now we'll look at Victor Mayer. Understanding others is knowledge. Understanding oneself is enlightenment. Conquering others is power. Conquering oneself is strength. Contentment is wealth. Forceful conduct is willfulness. Not losing one's rightful place is to endure. To die but not be forgotten is longevity. I really like that translation so far. I think he's a little more clear. Yeah, I think he's a little more clear on the contrast between each thing that we're looking at today. But let's look at Wayne Dyer. One who understands others has knowledge. One who understands himself has wisdom. Mastering others requires force. Mastering the self needs strength. If you realize that you have enough, you are truly rich. One who gives himself to his position surely lives long. One who gives himself to the Tao surely lives forever. So some strong similarities, but a little bit of difference there. And then last but not least, Stephen Mitchell. Knowing others is intelligence. Knowing yourself is true wisdom. Mastering others is strength. Mastering yourself is true power. If you realize that you have enough, you are truly rich. If you stay in the center and embrace death with your whole heart, you will endure forever. All right, good. So I think what I'm going to do is put Derek aside today, and we'll focus on Victor Mayer and Stephen Mitchell, and we might glance back at the other two a little bit. But I'm going to go ahead and give Victor the lead seat today. So the first line is understanding others is knowledge. So obviously, I don't know exactly what Lao Tzu is talking about. I got to say that every time. I only know what clarity comes to my mind as I read these things. But when I read the sentence, understanding others is knowledge, what comes to mind for me is that one reason that I sometimes have patience in situations where other people don't have patience is because I'm able to very easily put myself in the shoes of the other person. I can very easily put myself in the shoes of whoever others might be impatient with. You know, for example, recently I was involved in some contract negotiation. I was more of an advisor than the contract negotiator myself. But I was involved in some contract negotiations and the party on the other side of the table was afraid. And I was able to understand that. You know, I was able to say, well, look, she's afraid. You know, she needs us to give in a little bit in order to make her feel more comfortable with this. Sometimes I'm with people who may all kind of get together and not like another person because that other person maybe is a little short-tempered with them. But I'm able to look at that person and say, yeah, but look, you know, she's afraid that she's the most unworthy person here and that she needs to put on this show to appear to be as good as others. You know, so because I'm able to understand people, which really is understanding the ego, it's not truly understanding people, But because I know the ego and I understand the ego, I'm able to be really patient with others. I'm able to place myself in their shoes and see things a little differently. And as a result, maybe behave a little differently than others who aren't able to do the same thing. So the Tao says, understanding others is knowledge, and it's helpful knowledge. Because if I understand that you're afraid and I'm working with you, or I understand that you're coming from your I am bad thought and I'm working with you, I'm going to work with you differently than if I didn't understand those things, right? I'm going to have compassion, understanding, clarity. I might even have insight as to what you need from me in order for us to work together better. Understanding others is knowledge. But then it says, understanding one's self is enlightenment. So understanding others in the way I just described it is, as I pointed out, it's really understanding the ego. Right? Understanding other people's fears, understanding other people's insecurities, their I am bad belief, their mask. That's understanding the ego. But when you understand what this is calling oneself, then you're understanding the Tao. You're understanding truth. You're understanding reality. You're understanding the unaffected. And this needs to be understood from a direct experience. You know, Nisargadatta once said, to know something, you have to be it. So in other words, you can't actually have intellectual understanding of the self. The only way to really understand the self is to be it, to abide as it. And that's why this says understanding oneself is enlightenment. Right? Being the self is enlightenment. So there's a bit of a contrast here. You know, understanding others is knowledge. And again, it's very helpful. You know, knowledge is useful. But understanding oneself, abiding as the self, is enlightenment. The next contrast. Conquering others is power. Conquering oneself is strength. Let's see, I want to look at Stephen Mitchell, we said we were going to look at. Stephen Mitchell says, mastering others is strength and mastering yourself is true power. So it's interesting, I noticed when I was reading these verses that some people put the word power with conquering others or mastering others, and some people put the word power with mastering yourself. Some people put the word strength in the first line, which is about conquering others. And some people put the word strength in the second line, which is about mastering yourself. So it's interesting that when we look at all four of these, and I think actually two did it one way and two did it the other way, what we realize is we can't really take the words power and strength too seriously or too literally here, because those words swapped, depending on who did the translating. I think it would be really interesting to pick one of these words and use the same word in both lines. So I'm going to pick strength. Conquering others is strength. Conquering oneself is strength. And that's a contrast statement, right? So to me, what it says is one is worldly strength or worldly power, and the other one is spiritual strength or spiritual power. What we're really contrasting is what strength or power looks like in the world and what genuine strength and genuine power is, which is spiritual power or spiritual strength. So, you know, we've been reading the Tao for a long time. We know that conquering others, you know, mastering others, is not the teaching of the Tao, not the recommendation of the Tao. We know that conquering others, mastering others, achieving strength in that way is like pushing the pendulum. It's control, and it's not the teaching of the Tao. So the teaching of the Tao then would be the second line in this contrast, which is conquering oneself or mastering oneself. And at least what I hear in that is, mastering one's ego. In other words, not being the slave to our ego. Maybe you're on the phone with someone trying to work something out. You know, maybe there's an error in your bank account and you're trying to explain to the bank that it's not your error, it's theirs. and there's some tension arising in this conversation with you, and you find yourself snapping at or yelling at or getting kind of rude with the person on the other end of the phone. That's being a slave to your ego. You have not mastered yourself, right? To me, mastering yourself is learning to be the watcher of these energies when they arise. We don't want to ever repress these energies when they arise. You know, if this tension arises while you're on the phone with the bank, you know, which is, of course, backed up by some fear, I'm sure. But if this tension arises while you're on the phone with the bank, you don't want to deny the tension. You don't want to have, you know, allow the thought, I shouldn't feel tense. But you want to be the watcher of it while not acting from it. I mean, this is mastery. So imagine I'm on the phone with the bank. Here's my phone. I'm on the phone with the bank. I always talk in the speakerphone, so I'll hold it like this. And, you know, they're telling me, you know, that I did take that $1,000 out of the bank account. And I'm like, no, I did not. And I notice this tension rising up. I'm literally going to pause and look at the tension. And then say, what do we need to do to look at this deeper? Because I know I didn't take that $1,000 out of the bank account. You know, how else can we investigate this? Right? I come from a softer place, even while the tension is there. You know, I've heard a couple people say recently in their teachings, I don't remember who, but I've heard a couple people say recently, I think Shauna was one, that they're practicing doing the opposite of what the ego says. You know, that's kind of what I'm talking about. So the ego is, you know, this is important. It's $1,000. I'm not rich, you know. I didn't take that $1,000 out of the bank account. This is their mistake. You know, the ego wants to get all upset. But you have to learn to recognize that that's the ego. And you practice mastery by observing the ego, not denying it, and simultaneously not acting from it. Acting from the clarity, acting from the peace, right? Which is also present. You know, that's the interesting thing about peace. It's always there. I don't care how upset you get. You know, peace is the container that the upset arises in. You know, like if we just take this space right here in front of me and we see that as peace, inner peace, the anger rises up in the inner peace. But the peace is still there. Which means you can always act from the peace. The peace is the permanent nature. The anger is the temporary nature. Temporary experience, not even a nature, it's a temporary experience. So you always, always have the option, no matter what you're feeling, of choosing to act from the peace. It just takes some mastery. And a part of that mastery is discernment. And a part of that mastery is desire, at least in my experience. You have to want to act from the peace. In fact, I think it's really great if you word it this way. You have to want to act only from peace. Right? That has to be the desire. And then you have to have the quick discernment, the quick glancing to look, is this the peace? Is this the peace that wants to yell at the bank teller or the banker on the phone, right? But if you have the desire to act from only peace and the discernment to know the difference between what is peace and what is not peace, then you have what's necessary in order to be a master of yourself. And it's interesting that some of these translations are saying conquer yourself. Right? Conquer yourself. I'm going to go ahead and look up the word conquer. Conquer is to success. Well, the first definition is overcome and take control. Which is true, but the definition that jumped out at me was actually the second one, and that's successfully overcome. Right? Successfully overcome the ego is conquering oneself. You know, conquer sounds like kind of a strong military-like word. It sounds like a very egoic word. But if you look at it as successfully overcome, it has a softer yet clear meaning. So conquering others is power, or again, some of them said conquering others is strength. Conquering oneself is strength, or some of the others say conquering oneself is power, right? So the power and the strength end we have to take lightly. But the difference between conquering others is a very egoic, very worldly type of conquering. You're trying to get others to be, you know, that's what you're doing when you're yelling at the bank teller or the banker on the phone, right? You're trying to conquer her or him, right? You're trying to conquer that banker and make them do what you want to do, which is realize that they made the mistake, right? You're trying to conquer them, right? But when you're watching yourself and you're acting from peace in that conversation, you're conquering yourself. You're conquering your own ego. Conquering others is power. Conquering oneself is strength. Now, the next one is really interesting. Contentment is wealth. Forceful conduct is willfulness. And as far as I remember, Victor is the only one that translated it this way. They all talked about the contentment and the wealth, but they didn't all talk about the forceful conduct is willfulness. So let's go ahead and peek at what each one said. Derek said, those who know contentment are wealthy. Those who proceed vigorously have willpower. That's a completely different sentence. So, you know, who knows what the Tao actually says? Now, Victor claims to have found a more ancient, he's not saying he found it, forgive me. Victor claims that there was a more ancient manuscript that was found, and his translation comes from that. So maybe his statement, forceful conduct is willfulness, is more accurate. One reason that makes sense is because each of these little two-sentence pairs are contradictions that can be contemplated. And the way Derek Lynn has written it is not a contradiction that can be contemplated. It's two, you could call it positive characteristics. Those who know contentment are wealthy, and those who proceed vigorously have willpower. Stephen Mitchell didn't even talk about this second line that Derek and Victor have translated differently. And also Wayne Dyer didn't even talk about that second line. So it's kind of interesting. We have a lot of difference here. But I'm going to go ahead and go with Victor because that's the one I felt to go with. So if I looked at Victor, we have contentment is wealth, forceful conduct is willfulness. And again, we have a contrast there. We can contrast contentment and forceful conduct. Right? Contentment and forceful conduct. So let's go back to being on the phone with the bank. Obviously, I was on the phone with the bank this morning. This is where the example is coming from. So let's go back to being on the phone with the bank. Can you be content with $1,000 missing from your bank account? Can you be content knowing that that money may be recovered or that money may not be recovered? Oh, and I didn't have $1,000 missing. My bank conversation was different. It had to do with them having a lien on my house when I don't owe them any money. So we got that taken care of. Yeah. It wasn't $1,000. It was just $320,000. they had a lien on my house, which I owe my house outright. So the lien needed to be taken out, and that got taken care of. But the $1,000, can you be content with $1,000 missing from your bank account, knowing that it may or may not be recovered? Because when you're calling the bank about the $1,000 missing, you don't actually know whether that error will be resolved and the $1,000 will be put back in your bank account, or whether the error will not be resolved and you will be out $1,000, right? Can you be content in that unknowing? You see, that's what the Tao is describing as wealth. You know, a lot of people would think the wealth is getting the $1,000 back. But the wealth is being content with whatever is. That's the wealth. Now let's contrast it with the next line. Forceful conduct. You know, forceful conduct comes from, by God, I got to get my $1,000 back. This is their error. They have to fix it. You know, you got to wonder in sentences like, they have to fix it or what? The world's going to explode. And, you know, we make up stuff all the time and we don't pay any attention to what we're making up. They have to fix it or what? Or I'm going to be miserable is really what that means. Right? They have to fix it or I'm going to be miserable. And why in the world would any sane person make that choice? If the error can't be fixed, you're out $1,000. Now, do you want to be out $1,000 and content or out $1,000 and miserable? You're out $1,000 either way. In fact, I remember one of the first spiritual books I read when I started the spiritual path back in 2004 was a real thin little Buddhist book that a guy that worked for me gave me. He was a Buddhist. I don't remember anything out of this book but this one story. It had a story in it about a teacup that had been passed down in a particular family. So it was not only an antique but an heirloom. And a guest came over, and somehow this teacup didn't usually get used, but this guest, I guess, wasn't being observed in the moment and didn't know that. And the guest not only used the teacup, but then accidentally broke it. And so the question in the book was, so now what do you do? The teacup is broken. Do you get upset with the guest? Or do you be at peace? Either way, the book said, the teacup is broken. I remember reading that, and remember, this is like one of the first spiritual books I ever read, and I was kind of like, whoa, You're like, wow, that's true. Because up until that point, I would have thought it's absolutely natural to get upset at that guest for breaking this heirloom teacup, right? Like that's completely natural, completely justified. Anybody would do it. But you know, the way it was presented was the teacup is broken. Now your next choice, you know, you can't change that, but your choice is, do you want to get upset about it or do you want to be at peace? So many of us go through life in an insane manner, thinking that if we push with enough force, we can make everything go our way. And it's not true. We may be able to make some things in form go our way, but we probably upset other people, which puts a lot more what Stephen Mitchell calls environmental pollution, you know, in the universe. You know, if we're going around just ticking each other off all the time, all that anger is going out into the world. And in fact, I'm going to say this on a general global level, this is what is happening. This is why, for example, a couple weeks ago, I heard a story about some lady got cut off in traffic or something like that, jumped out of her car with a baseball bat and started beating the other lady. You know, that's where that comes from. You know, that comes from us trying to force the universe to bend to our will, creating this negative energy with everyone that we come across, while we're yelling at the bank teller, yelling at the grocery store person, flipping off the people in traffic, right? All this negative energy is out there, and it has to explode in certain places. It has to. It's like a great big giant pressure cooker. And it also continues to explode in us. You know, it's not like we just put it out there and then we're free of it. Anything you put out there, you keep. So you're keeping all that pressure, and the next time something comes up, you're doing it again. You're living from that pressure, from that trying to force your way in the world. So just, you know, we've all felt that. I know we all have. So just contemplate that energy of trying to force the world. And then contemplate that energy of being content with whatever is. You know, which one do you really want to live with? And which one do you want to share with the rest of the planet? You know, if whatever you be, you also extend, you know, which one do you want? Do you want that forcing energy out there? Or do you want that relaxed, peaceful energy? And again, the teacup is broken anyway. The $1,000 is missing anyway. So contentment is wealth. Forceful conduct is willfulness. And that word willfulness, I mean, what I hear in that is strengthening the ego. You know, forceful conduct is strengthening the ego. You know, so that's another thing to contemplate. Is that my purpose? Is that why I'm here? Am I here to strengthen my ego? Or am I here to let it become less and less and less till it disappears? Next, Victor says, not losing one's rightful place is to endure, to die, but not be forgotten is longevity. So I know everybody translated this a little different. So maybe we have time. Maybe we'll just look at each of them. So not losing one's rightful place is to endure. So, I'm in no competition with Jacqueline over the president minister position, but let's just pretend for a moment that I was. Let's pretend like, dang it, I'm the founder of this organization. I'm the rightful president minister. And I know Jacqueline is behind the scenes, talking to the board, talking to the trustees, trying to get me pushed out of my position so she can have it. All right, well, two can play this game, Jacqueline. Right? And so I start maneuvering in whatever way I start maneuvering to hold on to my position. That is enduring. Jacqueline just quickly surrendered so I can have it. We're going to fight over who has to take it next. that's enduring, right? I can endure in my position. I can hold on to it. But the longevity, he says, to die but not be forgotten is longevity. Now, again, the way my heart reads this may be a little different than the words initially appear. So let's take a different scenario. In fact, the one that I think is probably actually the guidance. I start stepping back from the president minister position and start slowly fading myself out of Awakening Together. And one day, I'm gone. But the teachings that came through me survive. Because those teachings aren't me. Those teachings are, you know, what we call Holy Spirit or what we call consciousness, right? And I allowed myself to be surrendered enough to allow these teachings to come through. And so when I am gone, the teachings themselves are remembered. That's the longevity, right? Obviously, that's what happened with Lao Tzu. You know, I mean, we're still sitting here 5,000 years or more later contemplating these teachings. And the reason they have longevity is because there wasn't personal in it, right? It's because Lao Tzu or whoever, some people say maybe Lao Tzu, maybe not. But Lao Tzu was able to be out of the way enough to allow the Tao to come through and give the teachings. And so the teachings have longevity, which is also why the Bhagavad Gita has longevity. And even why the Bible has longevity. You know, there's a lot of crap in the Bible. But the truth is in there too. You know, and the same thing with the Quran. The truth is in there too. And people are able to find those true teachings. And as long as we need them, right, those teachings have longevity. And in fact, I heard a story. I don't know if it's true, so I have to put that out there. But I think, the story is a perfect example of this little verse. The story that I once heard was that Lao Tzu was actually dismissed from his position with a particular king or lord. And as he was leaving, he wrote this book and left it behind. You know, so I don't know if that story is true or not, but let's just pretend like it is for a moment. If it is, that would mean he had the choice to, you know, he had an option. He could fight for his position in the kingdom, right? That would be to endure if he kept his position, or he could accept his dismissal. And I even heard in the story someone asked him, like as he was leaving the gate, someone at the gate asked him if he was writing these things down before he left, this wisdom. So, or he can go ahead and leave willingly, but then leave this wisdom as requested, and there's the longevity. You know, kind of a part of what I hear in this is, are we accepting what is? Are we accepting guidance? You know, like I feel like it's guidance for me to begin my step back from the president minister position. Are we accepting what is? Are we accepting guidance? Or are we still trying to force things to be the way we think we want them to be? You know, it's just like the same choices keep appearing over and over and over again. So not losing one's rightful place, Can you imagine? Let's just pretend, again, we don't know anything, but imagine that, you know, Lao Tzu is writing this as he's already know he's been dismissed. And he's writing this, not losing one's rightful place is to endure, but to die, or in this case, to surrender, but not be forgotten, is longevity as he walks out the gate. Pretty cool image. Whether it's true or not, I have no idea. But not everybody translated that last part the same. So we have time. Let's just look at everyone. We'll look at, picked up Stephen Mitchell next. I think I said he would be my second today, so we'll look at him. He says, if you stay in the center and embrace death with your whole heart, you will endure forever. You know, there are so many ways that sentence was translated in my mind at the same time. It was ridiculous. I hope I can get them all out of my mouth. We'll try and read the sentence three times and see if we can get one of those interpretations to appear at a time and look at it one at a time. So if you stay in the center and embrace death with your whole heart, you will endure forever. So one interpretation that came is a different interpretation of death. It's all endings in a lifetime, right? Every death, all endings. So it could be the ending of a job, the ending of living in a particular house. You know, right now my mom is on the road on her way here. She just left a beautiful, beautiful home in Mobile that she lived in for like a lot of years with her husband. You know, that's an ending. That's a death, right? Can you be with the death of living in a particular house, the death of a particular job, the death of a particular relationship? You know, can you be with all of these deaths and maintain the center? You know, that is allowing your ego to die as well, right? I think Cindy's saying, yes, exclamation point, and I think she knows a little bit about this experience I'm talking about right now, letting go of all of these things, being with all of these deaths, right? Can you be with all of these deaths and maintain the center? So that's one interpretation that I heard. Another interpretation, if you stay in the center and embrace death with your whole heart, you will endure forever. Another interpretation was literally one's own physical death. You know, I believe it was Eckhart Tolle that I once heard say, if you can stay in awareness through your physical death, that is an opportunity for enlightenment. That is an opportunity for awakening. So if you have not yet awakened in this lifetime, and physical death is coming, can you use that as well for your spiritual path? You know, last night we read a quote from, I believe it was Nisargadatta Maharaj, which talked about bending every circumstance in life to our purpose, right? Bending every circumstance in life to our purpose. Or isn't your own physical death a circumstance in life? So what if you also bend that to the purpose of awakening? And as you notice the physical death coming on, your whole purpose is to stay aware, stay the watcher. You know, the body, the death are objects, and you are the subject. You know, imagine that. And then another interpretation that came as I read this, if you stay in the center and embrace death with your whole heart, you will endure forever. Obviously, that's the ego death, the die before you die. You know, we've heard people tell us that that can be a fearful experience. I've had people tell me, and maybe you've heard these stories too, that they believe they were presented with that experience and they panicked and turned back. So can you be the watcher through the ego death? In fact, Dr. David Hawkins says that the ego death is the only real permanent death, that physical death isn't. He says, you've been through physical death a lot of times. He says, the ego death is the only real death. And, you know, there might be a sense of that going through the ego death, right? There might be a sense that this is real death. And of course, it's real death to the ego. But, you know, until the ego dies, you still have some attachment to the ego, right? So that may feel like me, right? And this is the only real legitimate death, he says. So can you stay in the center and allow that death to occur? So again, Stephen Mitchell says, if you stay in the center and embrace death with your whole heart, you will endure forever. Let's see what Wayne Dyer says. Okay, Wayne Dyer changes things up a little bit. He says, one who gives himself to his position surely lives long. One who gives himself to the Tao surely lives forever. Well, I think that's pretty interesting. One who gives himself to his position surely lives long. I don't know. I think maybe science would argue that. I think that maybe you can give yourself to your position with so much attachment that there's so much stress that it could reduce your life. You know, so I don't know about this sentence. One who gives himself to his position surely lives long. Unless gives himself to his position means surrenders to his life, right? Isn't fighting through it, isn't forcing through it, right? But then maybe that person, because of the more relaxed nature of their beingness, would live longer. Right? So in that case, this would probably be true. One who gives himself to his position surely lives long. But then it says, one who gives himself to the Tao surely lives forever. So let's imagine that the first sentence does mean you surrender to your job. You surrender to your family. You surrender to your life circumstance, right? But that brings more relaxation into your life, less stress because of your surrender position. So you live longer. But it still, you know, still could be, depending on why you're doing it, it still could be a purely worldly perspective. I remember when I first started reading A Course in Miracles, I didn't, you know, obviously, just like everybody else, I didn't quite get what it was fully about yet. And I knew that A Course in Miracles had a goal of taking me to inner peace. At that time, I thought inner peace was purely psychological. Like I didn't know about the spiritual truth yet. And I saw a benefit in that, being taken to inner peace. I saw a benefit in letting go of grievances so that I could be at peace. I saw a benefit of, you know, letting go of my own unworthiness and guilt so I could be at peace. But at that point, my perspective was purely worldly. I was just thinking about being a happy, peaceful person, right? At some point, the realization occurred that this is talking about a peace that is completely beyond the person. In fact, it's talking about the death of the identity with the person. So let's imagine that that's what these two sentences are talking about. One who gives himself to his position or surrenders to his life surely lives long, but it's a worldly contentment. One who gives himself to the Tao allows the person itself to die, right? The personhood to die surely lives forever. Because he realizes himself as the true self. One who gives himself to his position surely lives long. One who gives himself to the Tao surely lives forever. And then we have one more different translation to look at. Okay, so this is interesting. I don't usually read the notes, but I opened this up and the note jumped out at me, the note that Derek has written. He says, to die and not perish, because his translation says, those who do not lose their base endure, those who die but do not perish have longevity. And, you know, I would have interpreted that as, and I probably still do interpret that as, to die and not perish is to die before you die, right? That's awakening. That's enlightenment. That's the death of the ego. But listen to how Derek interprets that. To die and not perish means the memory of the deceased lives on. This, rather than the alchemical pursuit of immortality, is what we really mean by longevity. A noble goal for Tao cultivators is to live a life rich with meaning and full of the joy of helping others. Such a life continues on forever in the hearts of people, remembered, cherished, and missed. I think the Tao has more meaning than that. I think the meaning of the Tao is being missed. Those who die but do not perish have longevity. I think that's more literal than they're taking it. It's to die before you die. It's the ego death. And if the ego dies, then you realize yourself as consciousness, as the true self. And I mean, all you have to do is look out the window and see that consciousness doesn't die. I mean, yes, forms die. The consciousness continues on. Right? Even right here, just looking out the window in form after form after form. There's a song I'd like to play, except I can't remember the name of it. Ooh, gross. And I'm looking at babies being born. What's that song about? Oh, I know, When I Die. I'll be able to find it that way. When I die and when I'm gone. Okay, here we go. Let's listen to this in our last 4 minutes. Let me share the screen. It'd be a good way to end.
Chains on me. All I ask of living is to have naturally. You only wanna go naturally. Here I go. Hey, hey. I'm the devil. Right behind. Look out, children. Don't wanna go by the devil, don't wanna go by the demon, don't wanna go by Satan, don't wanna die uneasy. Just let me go naturally. And when I die, and when I'm dead, dead and gone, there'll be
So in my humble opinion, I'll just leave us with this. In my humble opinion, to die and not perish is to realize myself as that which carries on. The body's going to die, right? Releasing the mic.